not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. See and hear it first at dnewman.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to dnewman.org. First, let me say, yes, we missed yesterday. But the reason we missed yesterday is we were up most of the night following the summit between North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump in Singapore. And that press conference with the president after the meetings yesterday was pretty much incredible. I got to say, it was very, very historical in all kinds of different ways, but it was very revealing. And the follow-up to that press conference was really revealing. We're going to talk about all of past presidents' involvement with North Korea, trying to put something together to stop their nuclear programs. That would be President Bill Clinton, President George W. Bush, President Obama, and then contrast that to what has just begun with President Donald Trump. But first of all, let's get down to the nitty-gritty that drives me absolutely bonkers. How the mainstream media handles anything and everything to do with this presidential administration. It is uncanny what and how they do. So, of course, leading up to the summit, hardly anybody, including almost everybody in Fox News's list of on-air talents, with the exception of Sean Hannity, really constantly, every time they're open their mouths and discuss the upcoming Singapore summit, all of them would say, hey, they've never been honest before. They've never kept their word. Of course, talking about Kim Jong-un and North Korea, his father, and then his grandfather before his father. They all held other countries, especially the United States, hostage, made all kind of promises about denuclearization, and got all kind of goodies from the U.S., and then never followed through. Kim Jong-un is a little different, and we'll talk about that difference a bit later. But all of the news media types that weighed in for weeks and weeks leading up to the summit, every one of them said the same thing. You can't trust them. Donald Trump had better go in there not expecting anything to come out of this meeting. If anything comes out of it, and we are almost certain that it won't, it's going to make America look stupid. It's going to make us look like we walked into the North Korean mousetrap one more time, and we are going to look like clowns. He is going to look like clowns on the world stage. It seemed like none of them, not a single one, with the exception, as I said, of Fox News' Sean Hannity, really cared to open up and say, you know what? This might be a really good deal. Let's just give it a shot. What do we have to lose? And of course, here's the thing, folks. The news media were looking back at Bill Clinton, looking back at George W. Bush, looking back at Barack Obama, and how the way, the methods, and the actual deals that those presidents struck with North Korea weren't abided by those on the Korean Peninsula. And so, yeah, I think in a way, it made all of them, all three of those presidents, and of course the United States, look stupid. Like, we'll fall for anything. We just want to go out on the stage and look like the big guys on the world stage and put this North Korean dictator down and make them look bad. We want to get our way. We want to control the world. We have the biggest stick on the globe, and we want everybody to recognize that we are the boss. And then, of course, Kim Jong-un with Obama, his father with Bush and Clinton, and his grandfather, even earlier that with Jimmy Carter, made everybody look like fools. And you know what? The bottom line is, the mainstream media, of course, they are tilting so far to the left, and they are so anti-Trump everything. You roll all of that into the history that was out there about the failures of previous agreements struck between the United States, previous presidents, and North Korean dictators, and how they failed, and how North Korea used the United States. You can give the media a measure of authority to be able to be skeptical. It's okay. It hadn't worked yet. But you know what? They're firing off missiles. We know they have nuclear warheads now. We didn't know for sure before. And we don't know when they got their first one. But nevertheless, they have the goods. They are perfecting ICBM missiles that have the potential to carry nuclear warheads, which they have, to at least the west coast of the United States. Of course, between North Korea and the west coast of the United States is a lot of American population, a lot of American military, a whole lot of Korean and Japanese citizens, and oh, by the way, Hawaii. That's before you get to San Francisco and L.A. And then an ICBM, folks, will go all the way to Washington, D.C. and New York City. So they weren't really facing such a threat under those previous presidents. But this president's got a little more to think about as he gets ready and then ended up in Singapore with Kim Jong-un. And here is, I'm going to summarize what's going on and where they are missing the mark. I'm talking about the mainstream media. This media in the United States is consumed. Every breath they breathe, every word that is spoken on camera or on a microphone or written in a magazine, an internet news article, or a newspaper, all of it, folks, is based on one thing and one thing only. Symbolism and not substance. Let's just call it, for the sake of this conversation, symbolism over substance. In other words, the truth is immaterial. And it doesn't have to be about a North Korea summit. It doesn't have to be about Kim Jong-un. It doesn't have to be about the Russia probe. It's about all of that and a whole lot more. Rather than hone in on the facts and report facts to the American people, they have gotten totally away from journalistic integrity and giving us facts and trusting Americans to be able to look at facts and make educated, intellectual, and accurate decisions about what is really happening in all the things I just mentioned and all of the other areas in the news every day. Symbolism over substance. So they looked at Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, as you know, he and his wife, political elitist, probably the biggest political elitist in the Democrat Party for the last 30 years. If they think something's right, or if they think we should do something, then it absolutely has to be the way, the thing that we have to do. And anybody that thinks opposite of that is a nut job. And so if Republicans and other conservatives disagree with those on the left, led by formerly Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, you must be an idiot. You can't have any kind of understanding of the reality in the world if you disagree. And here come the media, and they fall right in line. George W. Bush follows Clinton to the White House, two terms there. His entire 8 years, he was daily blasted by the mainstream media. You remember? He was an idiot. He didn't make good grades in school. He got a free pass in the war. All of those things were constantly thrown out there, and they always left, they being the news media, they left the facts at the bottom of the pile, and all they wanted to do was point out things that maybe looked compromising for George W. Bush, or the things that maybe if taken out of context would make him sound or seem like he wasn't a brilliant guy. They never concentrated on the facts. All of the good things that that president did, as compared to the Clintons, it didn't matter what the Clintons did. I mean, Bill Clinton has an intern in the Oval Office having sexual relations with her, and they gave him a pass for it. They're still giving him, well, maybe not now because of the Me Too movement. It's not cool anymore for a president to mess around with an intern in the Oval Office. But until the Me Too movement, Bill Clinton got a pass on everything, as did Hillary Clinton and other Democrats. If you're conservative, if you're Republican, if your name is George W. Bush or George H.W. Bush, as it was before Bill Clinton, you are not going to get a break no matter what the truth is about anything you say or do. The narrative is created by the left, the political elite, the mainstream media. And it is what it is. At least they say and they think it is what it is. So, in the wake of this summit, this historical meeting between the dictator of North Korea and the president of the United States that no previous president has ever been able to put together, Donald Trump is blasted continuously by the media on the left, and it has their blasting has nothing to do with what happened. It is the perception that they draw, the conclusions that they draw, and they go crazy with it. Mika, on Morning Joe, an hour after the press conference, I flipped over, looked at their show, I looked at CNN's morning show. Mika, you know what she was concentrating on? She said it like this. How could Donald Trump have a meeting with this horrible dictator that has no understanding, no concern, no care for human rights, and not put that on the table as a must-get-resolved issue at the beginning of the meeting? What kind of guy, what kind of president of the United States would be so stupid to not get into the human rights thing? That was all she talked about. Then over on CNN, they had five political experts, foreign policy political experts, that were weighing in with their opinions. Not one of them had I ever seen before. I didn't recognize any name, but they are experts. Of course, they were up at 4 o'clock in the morning Central Time, so the real experts probably were doing what everybody else was doing, sleeping. Nevertheless, they one by one weighed in on their opinions. They laughed at President Trump, how insolent he is, how stupid he is, how ridiculous it is to think that this guy who sells, and I actually heard one say this, he sells real estate in New York. What qualifies him to meet with a foreign dictator and negotiate anything at all? And he's stupid if he thinks he can get anything done, and he's even more crazy if he thinks this guy is going to make a commitment that he's going to keep. It went on and on and on. It's ridiculous, folks. It's ridiculous. So what we're going to do in just a moment, we're going to examine the facts. We're going to talk about the facts. And you know what? I'm going to let you hear this president tell America on Meet the Press from 1989 exactly what the American people and the American government should have done back then regarding the nuclear problem of North Korea. 1989. And here he is, folks, almost 30 years later, doing exactly what he said should have been done in 1989. That's just ahead at dnewman.org.
Subway Restaurant Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
Mmm, that does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure. I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal.
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big hot pastrami available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway, eat fresh.
It's a new day for every American. Start today right by getting facts and only facts at dnewman.org. Want the truth about today's important matters? Truth coming up. Here's Dan.
Thank you, Pete. And back to the North Korea meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Let's look quickly, just briefly, at a few of the previous president's failures at negotiating with North Korea, starting with Bill Clinton. He put an agreement together, and under the terms of that in 1994, North Korea agreed to freeze and dismantle its nuclear program in exchange for, and this is a quote from the agreement, the full normalization of political and economic relations with the United States. Now, this meant four things. By 2003, that's 9 years, a U.S.-led group would build two light water nuclear reactors in North Korea to compensate for the loss of nuclear power. Of course, they were going to give up all their nuclear power, the peaceful kind, you know. Until then, the U.S. would supply the North with 500,000 tons per year of heavy fuel. The U.S. would lift sanctions, remove North Korea from its list of state sponsors of terrorism, and, perhaps more importantly, normalize the political relationship, which was subject to the terms of the 1953 Korean War armistice. Finally, the fourth thing, both sides would provide formal assurances against the threat or use of nukes. The light water reactors were never built. The U.S.-led group tasked with constructing them was in severe debt. Senators accused Clinton of underestimating their cost while overstating how much U.S. allies would kick in to help build them. And hawkish Republicans in Congress laughed at the framework for rewarding aggressive behavior. Heavy fuel shipments to Korea, North Korea, were often delayed. You remember the name Russ Deming? He was the Assistant Secretary of State. He told Congress then that, quote, to be frank, we have in past years not always met the fuel year deadline. In other words, we made a deal with North Korea and we didn't even hold the end of a bargain. Meanwhile, a diplomat who had negotiated the framework warned that it could fail unless the U.S. did what it said it would do, which is to take responsibility for the delivery of that heavy fuel oil. North Korea wasn't removed from the State Department's list of state sponsors of terrorism until 2008, though it had long met the criteria for removal. A limited number of U.S. sanctions were eased, but until 2000, 6 years later than pledged in the agreed framework, that's the name of the Clinton agreement, the agreed framework. According to this guy, this expert, congressional skepticism about the deal led to the minimum interpretation of sanctions lifting. In other words, they didn't know what was right, they didn't know what was wrong, and so they just kind of let things ride, as Congress and D.C. so often do. As this guy told a congressional committee, the North Koreans have always been disappointed that more has not been done by the U.S. That deal fell apart under Clinton. But it only gets worse. In 2002, the Bush administration's nuclear posture review listed North Korea as one country the U.S. might have to use nuclear weapons against, while its 2002 national security strategy listed the North as a rogue regime against which the U.S. should be prepared to use force. To this day, folks, the U.S. has 28,500 troops stationed across 11 military bases that we put there. We built them. That's in South Korea. And the two countries continue with their joint annual military exercises off the coast of the Korean Peninsula. So the deal never really did anything under President Bush. And then Barack Obama. He put a deal together, a new nuclear agreement he announced, and this is under the current North Korean leader, the one Donald Trump just met with, Kim Jong-un, the grandson of the original guy that started, his grandfather's the one that started chasing nuclear weapons. The Obama administration said that North Korea agreed to a moratorium on nuclear weapons and missile delivery activities from one of North Korea's known nuclear weapons-related facilities in exchange for the U.S. agreeing to provide food aid. Wholly apart from the fact that North Korea dishonored each and every non-proliferation agreement it had made over the years, and obviously can be expected not to comply with the Obama agreement, they just kicked it into high gear. And this is what they said, that by agreeing to that, North Korea demonstrated their commitment to denuclearization. Not what they did, but what they said. They signed the deal. And it's an insult to the intelligence of even a person with casual knowledge of North Korea's nuclear weapons and missile programs that they were ever going to comply. They didn't comply. And of course, we promised to supply them with 250,000 metric tons of food aid as part of the deal. They got the food, and they kept building nukes. So let's fast forward now. The one piece of advice Barack Obama gave Donald Trump after the inauguration was, hey, here's the keys to the White House, and oh, by the way, North Korea is going to be your biggest issue. And he was right. And you know why? Because Obama didn't do doodly squat to fix the issue. Absolutely nothing. So enter Donald Trump. Let's look back a ways. Donald Trump, a real estate guy in New York, born and raised in New York City, Queens, and no political expertise, no political history. But way back in 1989, Tim Russert, one of my favorite journalists, television, newspaper, he's now passed away, interviewed Donald Trump. Listen closely to what Donald Trump, private citizen back then, had to say when Tim Russert asked him, if he was president, what would he do about the North Korea problem?
I'd negotiate. I would negotiate like crazy, and I'd make sure that we tried to get the best deal possible. Look, Tim, if a man walks up to you in a street in Washington, because this doesn't happen, of course, in New York, but if a man walks up and puts a gun to your head and says, give me your money, wouldn't you rather know where he's coming from before he had the gun in his hand? And these people in 3 or 4 years are going to be having nuclear weapons. They're going to have those weapons pointed all over the world and specifically at the United States. And wouldn't you be better off solving this really potentially unbelievable and the biggest problem? I mean, we can talk about the economy. We can talk about Social Security. The biggest problem this world has is nuclear proliferation. And we have a country out there in North Korea, which is sort of wacko, which is not a bunch of dummies, and they are going out and they are developing nuclear weapons. And they're not doing it because they're having fun doing it. They're doing it for a reason. And wouldn't it be good to sit down and really negotiate something, and ideally negotiate? Now, if that negotiation doesn't work, you better solve the problem now than solve it later, Tim. And you know it, and every politician knows it, and nobody wants to talk about it. Jimmy Carter, who I really like, and he went over there. It was so soft. These people are laughing at us.
The former general of the Air Force, Merrill McPeak, the former Secretary of Defense, Les Aspin, said you could not launch a preemptive strike against North Korea because the nuclear fallout could be devastating to the Asian Peinsula.
I'm not talking about us using nuclear weapons. I'm saying that they have areas where they're developing missiles.
No, but taking out their nuclear potential would create a fallout.
Tim, do you know that this country went out and gave them nuclear reactors free fuel for 10 years. We virtually tried to bribe them into stopping, and they're continuing to do what they're doing, and they're laughing at us. They think we're a bunch of dummies. I'm saying that we have to do something to stop.
But if the military told you, Mr. Trump, we can't do this.
You're giving me two names. I don't know. You want to do it in 5 years when they have warheads all over the place, every one of them pointing to New York City, to Washington, and every one of our... Is that when you want to do it? Or do you want to do something now? You better do it now. And if they think you're serious, I deal with lots of people. If they think you're serious, they'll negotiate, and it'll never come to that.
Can you believe that? Donald Trump from 1989, Tim Russert, Meet the Press on NBC. And he predicted exactly what was going to happen. This from a political neophyte. He had no political expertise, just a businessman. And of course, since 1989, he's amassed a huge empire in real estate development around the world, and he's done a pretty good job. He's got a pretty good reputation among people in business and working with people who work for him. Hundreds of thousands of people. He knows how to get along. He knows how to make a deal. So here's the conundrum I face as an American citizen. I'm a business guy. I'm a journalist in my first life. I was a professional journalist, radio, magazine. So I've been in both sides of that world, and I understand both sides of the world. But we need to stop living in a symbolism over substance world. We need to go back to the days where substance was primo. Symbolism, if it meant anything at all, it was just to be an afterthought. So I heard the media screaming about optics. You heard this too. Oh, he can't take a picture with Kim Jong-un in front of a North Korean flag and an American flag. It'll give him a stage on the world stage that he does not have and he desperately needs and wants. Folks, big deal. Everybody in the world who gives a rip knew all about the upcoming Singapore summit. They know all about Kim Jong-un. They know that he is a human rights racist, murderer, slaughterer. They know he's got nukes. Vladimir Putin is worried about him having nukes in his backyard. Everybody knows that. They know what kind of guy he is. They know that he has no status in the world. They know that he wants to cozy up to the United States. But you know what? Leaders from around the world very quietly are sitting back and watching this. You know why? They're doing what the American media needs to do. Give Donald Trump a chance. What could it hurt? The media say, oh, he gave up the farm. He promised not to do military exercises, and he called them war games. It sounds like something a warmonger would say, a dictator would say. That wasn't anything to give up. Those war games, as he called them, the military exercises, are not scheduled to take place until next spring. Donald Trump has said, and Kim Jong-un in their meetings committed to get started immediately on the process of doing away with nuclear weapons in his country, North Korea. There's a long time between now and next spring, and it only takes a few days to call up some airplanes to fly over the Korean Peninsula. So he hadn't given away a thing. All of the sanctions are still in place, and he's given Kim Jong-un a list of additional sanctions and some additional things that the United States will do if they don't get going on denuclearization. And he believes this president, to be honest with you, he's kind of scared of him. Now you can see the tactics that Trump used early on, calling him Little Rocket Man, and them having words back and forth. It's one bully on the north of the Korean Peninsula who thinks he's the king of the hill, and he's dealing with a bully from New York who has a bigger stick, and everybody in the world knows it. Why do you think Kim Jong-un agreed to the meeting? Why do you think they quit testing these missiles? Why do you think he went there? He doesn't do things like that. Isn't it interesting? Did you see any of the video? The hotel that he stayed in? He spent a day and a half before Donald Trump got there going around and looking at Singapore, one of the most beautiful cities on earth. And Trump actually told him, you could have a place like this. The hotel that he stayed in with the casino, a gorgeous casino, you could have that on the port front in North Korea someday. We'll help you. I'm a real estate developer. We can work this out. What does it cost? Nobody sent a plane over with $450 million worth of currency in the dark of night to try to buy off some terrorists in Iran. It didn't cost anything. We didn't have to buy 240 million barrels of heavy oil and give to them. We didn't buy a bunch of food and give to them. We haven't given them anything. President Trump met with the leader of North Korea. That's all that's happened. Folks, thank you so much for joining us again at dnewman.org. We do this almost every day. We really appreciate you joining us here. If you want to get an email every time a new show goes up or a new post, on the front page of the homepage, enter your email address there. You'll only hear from us when something new goes up, and it'll be an email with a link. That way you never miss. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
Just because you think something's right doesn't mean it's right. Just because you think something's wrong doesn't mean it's wrong. But always get the truth about right and wrong here at dnewman.org.